Hello, Fight Insight fans, viewers, and listeners. I'm your host, as always, Timmy B. This is a weird podcast. We actually were supposed to have Chase Sherman on. He wasn't able to make the initial recording date, so I ended up filming the filler of the podcast with my good friend and guest co-host, Action Jackson. You're going to meet him in a second. He's a guy that I grew up with training in Muay Thai and mixed martial arts. He's an amateur fighter himself. He was a Canadian national champion at one point. He's a great dude. He's a teacher now, so he's gone on to do other things. But he's a great guy, very knowledgeable in the sport. We have a great time. We talk about Daniel Cormier, dude's got to get off Twitter. We talk about Nate Diaz versus Jake Paul. And then we talk about the fights coming up this weekend, Hill versus Santos. Guys, follow, like, and subscribe the podcast before we start. Just do that now. That would be great. If you can, check out middaysquares.com. I always talk about these guys. These are our good friends of the show. Check out middaysquares.com and use code FIGHTINSIGHT15 to save 15%. If you're here just for the Chase Sherman interview, just skip down to like the last 20 minutes. That's where that's going to be. But I'm telling you, this whole podcast is great. Enjoy the show. It's Timmy B, Prince B, Fight Insight. Yeah. All right, Jackson. So we don't know what's going to happen with our guest this week. Thank you so much for coming on. And for those that are joining, I guess you'll tell by the time you're watching this video, you'll see if the poster for this podcast shows Chase Sherman on it or not. Chase Sherman was supposed to come on today. He was running into some travel difficulties all day. He was like, crap, man, I'm going to be a little bit late. So, but at the end of the day, now it's gotten a little bit too late. And so he's saying, hopefully he's going to join me tomorrow morning. So if that's the case, Jackson, I will edit that in and that will come into the end of this episode. So cross your fingers for Chase Sherman. I mean, the dude is the nicest guy. He's been chatting with me back and forth. He's very, very pleasant. So if he's not on this week, I'll get him on in the future for sure. I got to talk to this guy.
It's all good. Anyways, in the end of the game, we always love Chase the Vanilla Gorilla.
That's damn straight, man. Did you see his fight a few weeks ago?
I saw. I've been catching up. I've been catching up with some of the fights that I've missed.
Yeah.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. The last fight was against, what was his name?
Bandera.
My goodness. Chase has been on a pretty nice hot streak as of late.
That was his bounce back win. But his performance was excellent.
When I say hot streak, I mean the sort of attitude that he's bringing to the fights. It looks like he's sort of like a changed fighter out there. He's bringing sort of like that contender series sort of intent into his fights. He really looks like he's trying to finish every fight that he's in.
Yeah, like a youthfulness, right? Even though he's a grizzled vet with a goddamn 94% finishing rate, like this guy finishes fights. So anyways, hopefully we get to speak to him. What I do want to say next week on the podcast, though, we do have booked. And of course, every time, like, you know, it's we hope that they show up. But next week, we've got UFC commentator, my favorite commentator, John Gooden from across the pond. Love that guy. He's my favorite UFC commentator. I've been dying to get him on this podcast. He's agreed clean to come on voice. Next week. Extremely clean voice, man. And can I say unbiased?
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Unbiased is, I think, when you're being part of the actual broadcast, I think that's one of the most important things, right?
Okay.
As soon as you start bringing a bias into it, it just makes the fighters uncomfortable.
Okay, but there's been a lot of bias lately, no?
100%.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan, notably, he's got a very famous podcast and he brings certain fighters onto his podcast and he'll even admit it. He calls them his friend.
That's fine though. You can be friends. Like, look, man, any fighter that comes on this podcast, we're friends for life, man. Like, you know, and I've said it before on the podcast, there's a lot of those fighters that we're chit chatting back and forth, like forever, you know, after they come on and we develop a friendship and we're good. I will always cheer for them 100%. I will always back them. But if I were to be on the broadcast table commentating, it's a little hard to be so biased.
It's hard to eliminate bias.
I know it's hard, but you got to, you know,
yeah. It,
Another one that comes to, another one that comes to mind is DC, Daniel Cormier. Yeah. He gets a little bit, you know. I do want to bring up one thing, and I'm going to show it on the screen here. So if you're on, if you're watching us on YouTube or Spotify, you'll see it. If you're listening to the audio, come on over to the video version. But I'm going to post this. This was on the Fight Bubble. They posted this from DC. I don't know if you saw this, Jackson. He tweeted after Alex Gustafsson's loss. He tweets, Gustafsson is done. He needs to walk away. Those shots are hard, but he used to eat them. The chin is gone. Walk away, my friend. We all have an expiration date. Then he nicely says, one of the best to have not had a title, which also is a backhanded compliment.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what your opinion is on this, because I think we could potentially differ on this one.
Oh, really?
I kind of have to agree with Cormier in the sense that I think that Gustafsson, I think honestly, when I see Cormier say, hang him up, you're done.
Yeah.
I think that he's coming at it from a good place. I think that he sort of has some fond memories with Gustafsson.
Yeah.
And he kind of wants to protect him from taking any more punishment, because he's been losing. I don't know how many straight fights. I don't think he's won a fight.
37 in a row, I think. Yeah. 37. No. Okay. Jackson, I don't disagree with what he's saying. I'm saying don't fucking go on Twitter and
post
say
it out there. Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you.
That's
because if you actually do care for the guy, just tell him in person or something like that.
If you care enough about me that you're caring about my health, caring about whatever, which that this is meant to kind of be, how about you give me a call? How about you pull me aside and tell me privately, and then publicly on your Twitter, why don't you just say, you know, sorry that Gustafsson lost, one of the best to ever do it. Why don't you just do that? Instead, you publicly say, hey, you should retire, blah, blah, blah. Also, you're one of the best that never had a title. Like, thanks for rubbing that in too. Like, I don't...
At the same time, Cormier, he's a public figure, and a lot, you see this with a lot of public MMA figures, guys and girls that made it to the top of their divisions, that are really admired. Their fans ask them for opinions all the time. Oh, what do you think of Gustafsson's latest performance?
I know,
and they have that social media presence where they have to like continue to get their opinions out there because people want to see them, right? So I don't know.
So you're okay with him saying it in the way he says it, like
that? You're done seemed a little bit harsh. The part where he says one of the best to never get a title, I think part of it is true.
Yeah.
It is the fact of the matter. But didn't he, I think he did get the interim belt at one point, if I'm not mistaken.
Those do not count. No, they don't.
Power Ranger belts?
Yeah. The Jake Paul belts.
Yeah.
No, man. Anyways, I'm upset with that. I think that's a little bit silly. I wanted to talk about that briefly. I mean, there's so many things that happen in the MMA world that, like, we record the podcast on normally the Wednesday release on the Thursday. This one's going to come out on Friday, but we release it. And then oftentimes, like, I'll miss some things and I'm like, God damn, I want to talk about that. That said, we are now fully on Twitter. So we're having lots of good engagement and discussion on Twitter. So we're at Fight Insight 1. I think that's my handle. What the hell is it? Hold on. Jackson, you should know it. Yeah, Fight Insight and then the number one, at Fight Insight, the number one. So we are on Twitter now, like every day, tweeting and getting involved in discussions and fights. You know,
you better watch out for those public opinions now, Timmy.
I know, but I'm telling you, man, you can't be saying, when I become a UFC commentator, I'm not shitting on people like that, man. Like, be supportive in what you're trying to say. You don't need to do it. The only reason you're saying it like that is because you want to get retweeted and you want people to talk about you like we're talking now.
Yeah,
but there's better ways to do that, man. And Gustafsson, I feel like he's a legend. He deserves better, you know, like he deserves to be treated with a little bit more modicum of respect.
Yeah, and I think that Cormier has sort of fallen into the trap where he's still looking for like clickbaity sort of titles and stuff like that, where Joe Rogan's podcast is so famous, it doesn't really matter what he's tweeting out. He doesn't have to like clickbait anybody or put out a sort of contentious sort of line. Whereas DC, he has a podcast too with RC, right?
Yeah.
For ESPN MMA.
Yeah. You really need to stop talking about other podcasts on my podcast, Jackson.
I know. The only one that matters, Fight and Sight.
All right. Let's talk. We'll subscribe. Yeah. Like and subscribe. Thank you, Jackson. Okay. Let's talk about, you were saying that you wanted to talk about something. You mentioned that Chase Sherman was a little bit of a contender series type guy. You wanted to talk about something?
Yeah. So definitely there's two things there. So I think Chase Sherman is bringing this sort of energy, this new sort of energy that I've been sort of seeing from these newer contender series guys, where Dana White's really made it explicit that on that show, he's looking for guys that go out to finish. And I think Chase is definitely one of those guys. He's one of those guys who's always looking to finish the fight.
Yep.
Just watching some of his recent fights, even the ones that he's lost most recently.
Yeah.
He's out there looking for the finish. He's one of those guys that you'd think if he showed up on the contender series, win or lose, that would be a guy that Dana would be looking to pick.
Yep.
Another part of that would be, I was talking to you before the air, I was asking you, had you seen the latest Contender Series episode? It was yesterday's. I think it was airing yesterday. Yesterday as in Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah.
It was amazing. It was amazing. This was one of the best Contender Series episodes. Even Dana White was saying that they've never trended before. They were trending number two in the U.S.,
yeah,
during the Contender Series.
Yeah, they people were saying that this was better than many of the recent actual fight cards, like the UFC fight cards. That the fights have been amazing. So that's good, man. I'm happy. Anybody stand out specifically for you, or was it just the whole card you were happy with?
There were actually a couple nice standouts. So apparently the previous week's episode was such a stinker that Dana went in and gave one of these classic sort of Dana White speeches.
Do you want to be a fighter?
Do you want to be a fighter? All this and that. He kind of told them, what are you guys here for? You're not here to just win and squeak by. You're here to like show us that you want to be in the UFC. So
yeah,
this is what we saw from each and every performance. There was only one fight that went to decision.
Nice.
And even that fight was just, the only reason why it went to the decision is because both fighters were so tough. Each of them were just eating shots left and right. There was this one, the co-main event, if you want to call it. I don't know if they're technically calling that in the Contender Series, but the co-main event, a flyweight from Brazil. I wish I had his name, because he to me was like one of the standouts of that episode yesterday.
Nice.
He's a fairly tall flyweight. And he was pulling off some crazy kicks, like soccer kicks, like behind the leg soccer kicks, which, let's be honest, are not necessarily the most efficient techniques.
Yeah.
But he was doing some wild stuff, and he had his hands down. His head movement was fantastic. And apparently this flyweight, men's flyweight, all but one or all of his finishes or all of his fights end in finish. And he's got like 12 or 14 or something like that.
Yeah, man. Hey, that's what you got to do. I mean, again, going back to my hopefully guest for this week, Chase Sherman.
Yeah.
16 of 17 of his victories end by knockout or end by finish, right?
Yeah.
And I think they're all pretty much knockout. I think maybe one's up. But dude, that's what you want to see. Like, you want to see people go out. Now, can't always do that. And as you get to the higher and higher level, eventually it gets difficult to do that. But yeah, I mean, good on Dana for pushing the pace on these guys. Last week, our guest was Jillian the Savage Robertson, and she told us to look out for a guy who's on the Contender Series. His name is Roybert Echeverria. He's at the Unbroken Roy on Instagram. She said that we should have him on the podcast. We reached out to him. He said he is going to come on, and he's on the Contender Series, I think, September 20th. So. Cool. And looking at this guy's Instagram, this guy's an insane maniac. Like, this guy looks like, it looks like a highlight machine. Looks like he's going to bring it. So we're excited for him. But yeah, the Contender Series, man, it's good. It's a good show to watch, man. That's definitely a reason to get. It's only on Fight Pass, right? Isn't it? Is it Fight Pass? Yeah.
I've been getting it on TSN.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, yeah. All right. Well, I guess I guess my Fight Pass subscription is worth less and less nowadays. That's fine. All right, let's talk about, you said it at the top, we're going to talk about the greatest combat sports athlete of all time. Bam! Jake Paul, baby! Jackson,
I just want to say something that was me saying best combat sports athlete of all time. It was part of the opening, it was part of the intro.
Yeah.
Don't get your feelings hurt.
That you wrote.
But... I mean, he's been kind of on a hot streak lately, especially in terms of like just the notoriety that he's generating, just the buzz that he's been generating.
Yeah, well, we talk about him a lot on this podcast because every time he fights, he's normally fighting some old washed up MMA fighter, right? So there's good reason to talk to him. This time, the fight with Tommy Fury bails out due to visa issues. I'm using air quotes for those that are on audio. Then he's supposed to fight this other guy, which I've never heard of, but he's the son of a boxer or whatever.
Junior. Yeah, never heard of him either.
This fight now bails out because of weight issues. Again, I'm using air quotes, right?
Yeah.
The hypothesized reason is that the fight was not trending well. It was not selling well, blah, 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 right? Yep. No proof of that. Who knows? God knows.
That's my theory on it all.
Your theory is that it just wasn't going to sell well?
I think that they're probably looking at all the metadata. They're probably looking at like just how many views they're getting for certain posts, stuff like that. And I think maybe I'm not sure if they already had pre-sales for tickets or something like that.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing that they probably just weren't doing well business-wise. And that's partially because for most people in combat sports, it takes two to tango, right? And if we've got a guy that most MMA fans who I feel like he's kind of getting most of his actual viewers from MMA, right?
Yeah.
Most MMA fans don't know who Haseem Rahman Jr. is, right?
Nope. No. And we didn't know who Tommy Fury was either.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
But he's got at least a little bit of a link to Tyson Fury. He is the brother of Tyson Fury. And most people know who Tyson Fury is.
Yeah. Yeah. So is he the brother? I thought he's like a nephew. I thought that was a mistake.
He's just a younger brother, yeah.
I don't know. Whatever he is. Anyways, who cares? Dude's not fighting. Back in March, Jackson, I posted this on our Instagram. I posted in March that Nate was boxing Jake Paul. I showed his tweet where Nate tweeted saying, I would like to request to be released from the UFC. I apologize for asking online, but you don't give me a fight ASAP. I got shit to do. The genius that I am, Jackson, I read into that going, he wants the Jake Paul fight. At that time, I think that was when the whole Tommy Fury thing was a little bit of a mess and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, this guy wants the Jake Paul fight. That's a great fight. Perfect.
Great minds think alike there, Tim. I was thinking the same thing. As soon as I saw that, I'm thinking, well, let's just walk through the actual sort of statistics or the actual facts that we kind of have a good idea of. Right now, we know that Nate Diaz is unhappy with his contract.
Verbally unhappy.
You're only unhappy with your contract. In Nate Diaz's case, probably due to money reasons, right? He's not getting paid enough. He's not getting paid what he would like to be paid.
Sure.
Now, he knows that there's this fight out there, and he's seen the evidence. For example, when Conor went out of the sport and went to boxing, you get a much greater share of the pie.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have to split it with the UFC. So once he gets out of that deal, he goes, makes a fight with Jake Paul. Well, that's a big fight.
Yeah.
That's maybe close to the same size of a fight as him versus Conor McGregor, somewhere in that range.
Bigger.
Maybe a little bit lower.
No.
Bigger, you think?
I think Nate versus Jake Paul is massive. I think that is a massive fight. And the reason why I think it's massive is because he will not, I mean, God damn it. Nate Diaz will not take a bribe to take a fall.
Yeah.
I think Woodley took the bribe twice. I think Askren took the dive. Guarantee Askren took the dive. I think the other guys, maybe, I don't know, the boxing guy they fight, who knows, maybe that was just at the beginning. But I think the last three fights, the two Woodleys and the Askren, those guys were paid to take a dive. Wow. I think there's no way Nate gets paid to take a dive. So this would be the first, for me, real fight that he's fighting a real fighter. And I'd love to see it. I will pay for that pay-per-view. Like 100%.
That's very conspiracy theory of you. They're all taking dives? Really? You think that?
Jackson, I know that you knocked so many people out in your career, okay? And you, like, for those watching, okay, all the people that are here because of Jackson, dude knocks people around like it's nothing, okay? How many times, though, Jackson, have you knocked people out and they've literally face-planted?
Face-planted? I don't know if I've ever knocked somebody out and they face-plant.
Like Ric Flair-style face-plant.
But
yet,
you know what?
Jake Paul has done it to everybody? It's fucking impossible. It's just impossible that happens. Tyson didn't do that.
There's something to say for that. There is
the way they fall. The way they fall. It's Mike Tyson was not knocking dudes out like that. So how is Jake Paul doing this to people? It just baffles my mind.
Might be swaying me here. That's just that alone. Because you're right. Like every single one of them, right? They're always like getting knocked out in some sort of dramatic fashion, right?
Yeah. No, man. Anyways. I want to see the Nate Diaz fight. I think Nate Diaz now smartly finally says, fine, I'll take this last fight on my contract. Give me whoever. He takes Khamzat. I think it's a great fight because if he wins, he leaves the UFC by giving the massive middle finger to the UFC, going, I just destroyed your next golden boy.
Yeah.
For UFC, if Khamzat wins, which they're 99% positive is going to happen.
Huge favorite,
They're like, hey, we have this guy who's our next golden boy. We're going to feed him Nate Diaz, let him destroy Nate. We're going to use up Nate's last little bit of value to us and just let him be fed to Khamzat. So both sides are banking on like, hey, this is great. But in the end, Nate Diaz, literally all he has to do is walk into that cage, the bell dings, and he just has to go on the ground and tap. And then he just walks right out.
I was thinking about that too. I was really, really thinking about that.
If he'll do that?
If he does that, he's basically praying that if he does that, that Jake Paul will still take that fight. Because now you've just publicly made it known that you can't really be trusted.
Yeah, but he's made it publicly known that he hates the UFC too. So, I mean, and where's he going to go? He's not going to go to Bellator. He's not going to go to ONE FC. Like, once he finishes UFC, he's not fighting in MMA again.
Right? I could more reasonably see something that he throws it without throwing it against Khamzat.
That's not as dramatic. But that's not as dramatic. That's not as FU to the man. You know what I mean? I don't think he will. I think he'll fight. But I'm just saying, all he has to do to get to the Jake Paul fight is literally sign on the dotted line, walk in the cage, tap, 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 walk right out, sign your Jake Paul contract, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm saying that my conspiracy goes further in that Rockman or whatever his name is was not missing weight, blah, blah, blah. Jake Paul probably is like, okay, Nate's finally got this fight. He's going to get out of his contract. I'm not going to risk this fight or like having bad numbers. I'm just gonna cancel this shit, let Nate do his fight, and then boom, now I've set up a nice new Year's Eve at Madison Square Garden.
Why risk that whole winning streak on a much more challenging fight
on a guy that nobody knows, that nobody's gonna watch anyways. Yeah, this is my thing. I think this comes true. I think Nate Diaz versus Jake Paul happens before the end of the year, for sure.
Yeah, it's work smarter, not harder, right?
Yeah, the only thing that has to happen is that Nate has to get into that cage against Khamzat so that his contract can be over. That's what has to happen. But once that happens, Jake Paul, here we go.
And he's still leaving the door open to make a comeback to the UFC. If he ends up beating Jake Paul.
Yeah, of course.
You don't think the UFC is going to want him back? Even if he loses to Jake Paul, the UFC will still probably take him back, but they'll give him probably a pay cut even.
Yeah,
they'd have to, because
by then he'll be a millionaire, so whatever.
Yeah.
All right, Jackson, let's get on to the fights this weekend. We've got Santos versus Hill. Mm-hmm. Which all right, fine. This is a pretty good card. On the fight card, we won't go through every fight, but main event of the prelims is guest of the podcast, friend of the podcast, Sam Alvey. He's been on our podcast twice.
Smiling Sam.
He's fighting Michal Oleksijuk. Okay. Jackson, does Smiling Sam have any chance of winning this fight?
I do not know how to pronounce the name of the fighter that is fighting, but I've actually seen him fight before. Seems to ring a bell.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, I haven't seen a lot of hope from Smiling Sam. I actually really like Sam, and obviously you guys,
of course, are
friend of the podcast. But I just haven't seen enough technical acumen, anything that would lend me to believe that Smiling Sam's going to get his hand raised.
Smiling Sam has lost his last 7 fights or 8 fights. The guy he's fighting is 4 wins in his last 8. He's coming off a loss in March.
Meanwhile, they're cutting Chase Sherman, who's an exciting fighter.
No. Well, they're not. Oh, you mean compared to Sam Alvey?
Yeah. Sam, previously, like, they're cutting him. Even though Chase has always been looking to finish his opponents, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
And so is Sam. Yes. And so is Sam.
Yes, but Smiling Sam, has not won in his last 8 fights. Smiling Sam, all the best luck to you, brother. Knock this dude out. Silence.
I got the shirt on for you, Smiling Sam. That's all you.
Knock this dude out. Get back in that winner's circle. That's all I want to see from Smiling Sam. That's what I expect to see. Moving on to the main card. Jackson, were you watching Tough Season 30 at all? Have you watched the Ultimate Fighter season this year?
Not one episode?
All right.
I can't say I've been on Tough for the past, I don't know how long, at least 3-4 seasons.
No, 10 seasons, 11 seasons.
Like, well, they took a long break, right?
Yeah.
I've been watching it still. Maybe even like the time where, who was it? The women at 115 got a title shot for winning that one. I think it was Nico Montano, 125.
Yes. The 125. That was when they created the belt. Okay, yeah. Well, that was
probably the last season I watched.
Yeah, so that was like 10 years ago. this season has been great. We've had 2 fighters on the show that unfortunately didn't make it to the finals. They both made it to the semis, both great people. We had Laura Gallardo and we had Katniss Caitlin Neal on the podcast. The women's flyweight final is Brogan Walker Sanchez versus Juliana Killer Miller.
I'm relying on you for the pick on this one.
I'm going Juliana Killer Miller. She looked impressive. I feel like she's the underdog, but she does look impressive. She's got a good mentality. I like her energy. I like her vibe. And when Laura Gallardo was on the podcast, she talked about they were doing tarot cards and oracle card readings. And she said that Juliana Miller had picked the warrior card.
Ooh.
And that, like, all the good spirits were with her. So I've got Juliana Miller on that one. In the men's heavyweight final, you've got Zach Pauga versus Muhammad Usman, the brother of Snoozman.
Kamaru.
Yeah, but he's
not the older brother, isn't he?
I think he's the older brother. He's a big boy, man. Big heavyweight. Yeah. Really nice guy. I'm going for Usman on this one as well. So I've got Team Pena for both. And it ended up that it was Pena versus Nunes, like fighters from both teams and both finals. So I've got Team Pena on both. So I've got Usman and Miller. We'll skip ahead to the main event. Thiago Santos versus Jamahal Hill.
I think he still pronounced it Jamal. I'm not 100% set on that, but
I love this dude though. Sweet dreams. That's all you need to know. Sweet dreams, Hill.
Yeah.
The best dude. And his Instagram, fire. I mean, if you're not watching his Instagram, it's amazing. Funny as well.
I'm completely torn on this fight.
Really?
In my opinion, I'm torn because in my heart, I'm a Thiago Santos guy.
Yeah.
I've just loved the guy from many, many fights ago. He'd been crushing guys. In my opinion, destroying might dude. Be controversial. Might be controversial. Beat John Jones, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And that was on a torn ACL. That was on a torn ACL in like the first round, probably, or the second round. So imagine if he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
After that, he's been headed on a downward spiral, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's on a rough streak. He's won one of his last five, and his only win against Johnny Walker, which was a decision. Johnny Walker on a very bad streak as well. So one win in his last five.
That light heavyweight division is kind of a mess.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I'm kind of talking myself into it, but I'm sort of leaning towards the newer blood on this one in Hill.
Sweet Dreams is 10-1. He's won three of his last four. Knocks out Johnny Walker, knocks out Jimmy Crute, knocks out Ovince St. Preux. His only loss in that streak was to Paul Craig when he broke his arm in that triangle. That was pretty gross.
Yeah.
Dude is on a good streak. He's got real good positive mentality in his vibe.
It's momentum too, right?
Momentum. Yep. He's coming off two performance of the night victories. So this guy's got all the momentum in the world. Like,
yeah.
Now you set him up as a main event.
It must be hard too, for guys that have gone on this sort of, even like lost one fight, right? Where your mentality going into your next fight would be, well, that was maybe just a fluke. I'm going to come back better and stronger. Then you lose two fights in a row.
Yeah.
Then you come back thinking, this is my all. I'm going to really give my all. I can't lose another one. And then you lose three in a row.
Yeah.
Well, then what? What's your mentality at that point? Because then it's just like, well, you're just going in there to get beat again? Or do you have a changed mindset after every loss?
The mental game is tough, man. We know that it plays into so much, right? Jackson, you and I have been around fighters that have gone on unfortunate streaks. And it's like, you can't help but wonder, like, does that play into your mental game? Does it play into, you know, your inability to really push yourself that little bit extra, right?
For sure.
And then the flip.
Yeah.
If you're a guy that's constantly winning, just that positive, refocused energy, that reinforcement that you get, the people around you calling you champ.
I don't know. I was in that second boat. I was in the boat where I was constantly winning. Like, I was going on a streak of, personally, in my Muay Thai career, I had never lost a fight.
Yeah.
So in my opinion,
Flexing hard, Jackson.
No, I'm not flexing at all. This was a couple of years ago. For me, it got to the point where it was sort of like that George St. Pierre mindset, where like you had so much pressure on yourself that you didn't want to lose. And then I think maybe even held myself back from participating in more fights. It's really hard because there's a lot riding on every fight. People don't understand the amount of work that goes into the fight, the amount of mental stress that goes into actually just preparing and stepping into a ring, thinking for several weeks that you're going to be stepping across the octagon or the ring against somebody who's trying to knock you out or kill you or something like that, right? There's a lot of thoughts that go through people's heads. So that's why I'm kind of asking that question, where what happens when you go on this multiple fight losing streak? I've never personally experienced that. I'm not making a slight at all, but just something hard. That I'd be curious to find out.
Yeah, I mean, okay. It's tough. It's crazy to hear you say that though, man. That's very interesting. It's very deep that you're admitting to that or sharing that with us. So I appreciate that. But I mean, look, man, being around you, I never got any sense that you were ever nervous or had any kind of different energy. Like, you're just always calm you, right? Like, you're always just calm guy.
It's not so much.
Maybe it's because I put up absolutely no defense or, you know, worry. Like, standing against me, you're just like, well, I'm just gonna murder this guy. What the hell?
Come on, don't sell yourself short.
So, okay, who do you got on this fight? You got the guy on the upward swing or you got the guy on the downward?
I think, if I was leaning toward the bias factor, I'd just sometimes I just bet for who I like more or mm-hmm. who I ride more with. But I think momentum is too strong on this one. I think he'll probably finishes him, and I'm thinking probably somewhere toward the later end of the first round, maybe in the second round.
Ooh, okay, so quick. Yeah, I've got Hill as well. I mean, both guys have main evented before, so there's no worry that either one is going to be starstruck by this or be in the limelight or anything like that. Hill was the main event in his last fight.
That was his first time, right?
Hill? That was his first main event, yeah. But okay, but now that jitter is gone, right? Now you're moving on. So I got Hill as well. I think Hill takes it. And yeah, first or second round, I see him stopping the guy. It's sad to see. It's sad to see Santos go down. But I think Hill's just on a positive streak. I like his attitude. I like his vibe. Like I said, I feel like he's in a real flow state. And yeah. I feel like that's him, man. So that's the card this weekend. We'll see who all the fights are. We'll see what happens. Like I said,
People always say, Tim, sorry to cut you off. Always say that it's the funnest to watch somebody on the rise up, right? But it's also, I think, there's nothing sadder than seeing the guy on the way down. Like, if you see a guy, he's lost like 2-3 in a row. The next one, he's up against a new up-and-coming guy, a younger guy. It's always kind of sad watching the young eat the old, right?
That's what's happening with the Khamzat Nate, right? Yep. It really is. It's like the new eating the old, right? And just taking all their clout. You know what I mean?
Do you think that they had some sort of like hidden sort of motive to just really, really stick it to Nate?
No, I think Nate wants that fight. I saw an interview today, which was Anthony Pettis. And Anthony Pettis was saying, no, man, I know people think that that's what happened and that they're feeding him. He goes, no, I think Nate wanted that fight. I think Nate wanted to take the best. Like, he's a true fighter. He's a guy that thinks he's the best in the world, and rightfully so. Mm. And he goes, no, I think Nate wanted that fight. And I think, and again, like I said, I think both sides see this as a very good fight. Like, Nate thinks this is going to be fantastic.
Here's a thought for you. Maybe he's picking the best guy so that if he faces the best guy and he loses, well, my star doesn't really get diminished that much because I was fighting like your next Terminator, right? Whereas if he fights, name an unranked welterweight, and he loses to that unranked welterweight, maybe the Jake Paul fight even falls away because he's like, wow, you're not even beating ranked guys at this point. You're not even fighting ranked guys.
Yeah, no, that's a smart way to think about it too. But I think Nate is Nate. I think there's no way he was ever going to fight a guy that didn't have massive star potential.
Yeah.
And so I think he was waiting until it was someone really good. And then he knew like he'll get that fight because of who he is. And then he has all the opportunity in the world. You're right. If he loses, it's not the worst thing in the world, but a loss is a loss. So I think, you know, he doesn't want
something,
that anyways.
This is something that's just come to my head. And this is sort of looking forward. This is looking forward. I don't know if you're trying to move on to another topic, but I got to add this in. Nate Diaz versus Leon Edwards. Now, Nate almost finished Leon. Does that weigh into your opinion on whether or not or how well Leon will do this next time around against Kamaru Usman? Because for me, you're almost getting beat by Nate Diaz. No disrespect to Nate Diaz, but if you match him up against with Kamaru, who do you think is going to win? He's not going to do anything to Kamaru. I think Kamaru will finish him easily.
No, this is this is Usman's division for now. Like, there's there's nothing there.
Yeah,
Jackson. No, I am not trying to move on to the next topic. It's just because our time has run out, my friend. We have done everything. We have talked about everything that we wanted to talk about. I really appreciate you coming on, man. I am so sorry about the Chase Sherman thing. Hopefully it segues right now into the into the interview, and I will try to get that done. If he does show up tomorrow, I'll try to call you in as well. If you can make it, you can make it. That'd be great. I'll probably have a different background because I'm not going to be at my house when it happens. We've got, like I said, we've got John Gooden coming up next week. Go buy your Midday Squares, middaysquares.com. Use code FIGHTINSIGHT15. You're going to see them now. They're at every grocery store too. So when you see them, you should be thinking about our podcast. And then go buy them. Don't buy them at the grocery store. Just buy them online and get the discount. Yeah, man, it was great to have you, Jackson. I hope you had a good time.
Thank you so much for having me. I did have a great time. I mean, it's bringing me back to the good old days, just getting to talk with you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Come on and do this again.
I'm always open to it. That's for maybe a talk behind the curtains. But
yeah, work out the deals. We'll write up the contract. buddy, thank you so much for coming on. Guys, I hope the Chase Sherman happens. If it does, you're going to see it right now. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Thanks a lot, Jackson. Have a good one, brother.
Thank you.
All right, man. Hey, wait, before we go, is there anything that you want to say? Anything that you want to say to your fans, friends, family?
Honestly, I just want to say again, thank you to your kind and benevolent host here, Timmy B. He's been holding down the fort for the Fight Insight. You're doing a fantastic job. Keep at it. You've probably even done better than you had expected with this podcast. It's a fantastic podcast. You have quite the production here, and I'm just thankful that you asked me to come co-host for today.
Always, man. You're one of the best guys I've known growing up in martial arts, man. You're one of the coolest dudes, one of the most respectful fighters. Nobody is like Jackson, man. Growing up, you know, training with you and all that, just the respect, the honor that you had. You are a true martial artist. You're a great guy, a smart guy. So I was happy to have you on as a guest, man. Thanks so much, buddy.
I take my hat off to you.
There you go. It was already off, but that's fine. Good one. See you, buddy. Thank you. Our guest is here. Chase Sherman came. All that worry that you heard Jackson and I saying doesn't matter because he came. Let me introduce him. Our guest today is a UFC heavyweight veteran with 16 wins, with 15 of those coming by KO. Most recently victorious just a few weeks ago at UFC Rafael versus Rafael. This man brings the excitement every time he fights. He's a former BKFC heavyweight champion of the world. Longtime viewers and listeners of this podcast will also be familiar with him because we've spoken a lot about his UFC contract and some weird stuff that happened that I definitely want to get to. Although a total animal in the cage, he's extremely thoughtful and composed in press conferences. We're extremely happy to see him here today and speak to him. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast, Chase the Vanilla Gorilla Sherman.
That was a great introduction, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, man.
Like, wow, that was really flattering, man.
Hey, no worries, man. Thank you so much for sharing your time. I know like things got all messed up yesterday. We weren't able to really speak, but I'm so glad to have you on, man. People are dying to hear from you.
Yeah, man. It's glad to be on. I'm glad I could get on, you know. I was just, like we talked about, was traveling a lot yesterday. Go back up to Mississippi and trying to get my son home for his first day of school. So I'm doing that this week. Both my kids, first day of school, one's kindergarten, another's first grade. So doing the dad stuff, and then I'll go back to Florida, and I'll stay there for probably till my next fight.
Nice, nice. Now, I do want to say congratulations on your last fight, because that thing was crazy. What an insane fight, and very good on you, because that was like a much-needed win and another statement in the heavyweight division, right?
Correct.
Yeah, man. I saw that you posted on your Instagram, and I'll put it up here. It's funny you're saying about your next fight, but you were saying, I want a crowd.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
We've been talking about that on the podcast a lot about, I don't know why the UFC continues to put events in the apex. It is, for as a viewer, I hate it. I hate not hearing a crowd. And I can only imagine as a fighter, like, you must miss it, right?
Yeah, I do miss it, man. And I think a lot of fighters, you know, fighters are particularly they're different types of different, they're a different breed of athlete, you know what I mean? Whereas and the UFC kind of figured it out, you know what I mean, as far as like creating the biggest, you know, spectacle they possibly can, you know. Yeah. A lot of us didn't get into fighting, obviously it wasn't for the money, because we don't make the money that other athletes do, but we do it a lot for the glory of the sport. Yeah. Glory of the combat, and the glory of being in front of a large arena, you know, filled with people, you know, and just and I miss that, man. You know, I want that back, you know. there's no reason that you should, you're a professional athlete at the highest level and you don't get to perform in front of a crowd. And yeah. Understand how it happened, you know, with COVID and why that was all going on. But I think it, a lot of they're doing away with, you know, they're slowly getting away from the Apex. And I think a lot of that had to do with the contract that they had set up with the place that we were staying. The it was like an extended stay, you know, they had the UFC.
Oh, you mean like the attached hotel or something? Yeah,
that we were, the one that we were, you know, where we're offsite. Yeah. All guarded, but you know what I mean, because I think at the time they didn't know how long the COVID dilemma was going to go on and all that, and so they probably I would assume they had a contract with that, and that so like the last fight we had, we stayed at a completely different resort where there was, you know, actually people and fans and stuff like that, and so I think they maybe had, you know, they're slowly starting to get away from the Apex if they don't have that, you know what I mean, there's,
yeah, they might be locked in. That's so interesting that you say that. I wonder if that really is the thing, because the other organization that is, I swear it's like bombing, is ONE FC, which is a place I thought I would end up seeing you when your whole contract stuff was going on, because ONE FC has kind of a big heavyweight division, but they're still fighting in that giant stadium and it's empty. It is the worst experience. Do you ever watch that? It's crazy.
I mean, I don't pay too much attention to it, but I'll watch from my, you know, my teammate, he fights. Okay. Ong. Yeah.
Who's your teammate at ONE?
Ong La.
He's oh.
He was the former middleweight light heavyweight champ.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, that's cool, man. Yeah, I can't believe that they're still fighting in empty stadiums and that they haven't downsized into a smaller place, because you just hear the echoes of nothing. You know what I mean? Like, it's really weird at ONE FC.
Yeah, it's so I think, you know, that the obviously the hotel and the that we were staying in was a big reason, and also I think that the UFC realized how much money they were saving.
Yeah.
That as far as like not having to travel all those, because on pay-per-view events the gate to just the ticket sales covers, you know, would cover a lot of those expenses and the pay-per-view buys, but like on the free cards, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know.
Yeah. Well, I do want to say, I mean, you brought up one of your friends that you train with, and we asked fans for questions. And so I did get one fan question that has to be a friend of yours, and I got to ask it off the bat. Steve asks, what does it feel like to be almost as handsome as me? And that's from at Tall Steve Fights People. That's I looked it up. It's Stephen Mowry. He's the Bellator heavyweight. So
yeah.
How do you feel almost being as handsome as him?
Well, Jay, he's a pretty handsome guy, so I guess it's a compliment, you know. He's awesome, man. That's my dude. He's a freaking animal, man. He really is. And a lot of people like have gotten, the reason he says that is because a lot of people have gotten us mixed up and like they thought he was me or vice versa.
Yeah.
Throughout our careers. And then we ironically ended up being at the same gym together. And man, he's just a hell of a teammate too, man. And he's a great leader. And he's an undefeated fighter, man. He's got a fight this weekend coming up. Well, not this
10-0.
Next weekend. Yeah.
10-0, man. So we'll be cheering for him. Chase, I know we're short on time, so I want to make sure that I don't miss out. The main thing that I wanted to ask you about, when all your stuff was going on with the contracts, when you got, I don't know whether it was released or your contract expired or whatever, and then you come on 4 days notice, they say, okay, or 4 days later, they say, hey, we want you for the short notice fight. Uh-huh. In the media, and I think you said it, but media was reporting that they said, hey, Chase, we're going to sign you back and guaranteed you get a second fight.
Uh-huh.
Is that like, when that happened, I was like, there's no way that's a guarantee. Like if something happens, there's no way they'd have to guarantee that second fight. So can you explain, like, was that true? Or like, how did that happen where they said like, hey, win, lose or draw, we guarantee we're putting you in a second time.
Well, I've, Well, they, you know, I don't think that guarantee was in the contract per se, but
right,
you know what I mean. I mean, Mick wouldn't do that to me. You know, I've been in the organization. Shit, I've had what 13 fights in the UFC.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and you know, and shit, I think maybe, probably 9 or 10 of those fights have all been pretty short notice.
And yeah,
less than a month, 4 weeks or less when I say short notice. And so, you know, I think it was more or less, you know, I scratched their back, they scratched my back kind of deal.
So it's like a gentleman's bet kind of thing, right? Like a gentleman's honor. Like they're just saying, hey, you do this for us, we'll do this for you kind of thing.
Yeah. And then, you know, my management, they wouldn't have allowed that, you know, Abe, you know, Kawa, those guys with first round management, they have a really good relationship with the UFC. And so I put it off in their hands and I knew that they were going to take care of it. And if not, then it was what it was. You know what I mean? We were just looking at going to, you know, BKFC.
Because you're the former heavyweight champion there. Yeah. And talking about a crowd and insanity, I mean, BKFC puts on one hell of a show, right? Like, I think that they're the second top combat sports organization right now, like right behind UFC. I feel like they've set themselves up.
They've done a really good job, man. They've come really far, and they've got a really good heavyweight division too.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, I mean, can I ask when you were... Sorry, go ahead.
And one thing that was on the heart was, and what you see with the BKFC is, you see a lot of these like characters coming out. This brashness of fighters trying to create their mark in the sport because it's such a young sport. So you have all these different personalities coming in. And people can be who they want to be or portray who they want to portray. And it has like a certain niche, you know what I mean? So because it's a young sport, you know what I mean? It's people aren't, I say it's a young sport. It's actually the oldest
sport. Yeah. But,
but organization, it's such a young organization. So, you find yourself that you can be the face, potentially be the face of the organization, coming into it. Just with your personality. So I find that really cool. And then two, it's like, you know, I felt like it was almost like low hanging fruit, you know, I won the title on my second bare knuckle fight.
Yeah.
And, that was something that, I feel like I was, if you watch how I fight, typically it's a sport that I was kind of made for, but, I have unfinished business in the UFC, and the UFC is where I want to build my legacy. And, you know, when I'm done with that, you know, have, you know, a couple fights and then retire, you know, maybe in BKFC, get a couple big paychecks and then, you know what I mean? Call it a day.
Yeah, man. Good for you, man. Congratulations. Like, yeah, your head movement in your last fight was insane. I mean, you were moving like a lightweight. It was the best Chase Sherman I'd ever seen. And one quick question before I get to something else is, when you were going back and forth between BKFC and MMA, like, does that mess up your training, or it's all the same for you? Because I mean, it's a very different sport.
Yeah.
So,
you know, with like a lot of things that I do, I incorporate different aspects of different sports and tie it all in to what I'm doing at the time. So, for instance, like, with football, you know, I played football all the way up till college. And then, when I got into, you know, mixed martial arts, I was an offensive lineman. And so, I went back to like a lot of the techniques that I had learned and on the offensive line for like, and they helped me with like, my hand placement, like when we're doing clinch work and my takedown defense and things of that nature, leverage, you know, putting like the cage pressure, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So footwork, you know what I mean? Cause you're an offensive lineman. Essentially you're looking at a 7 second grappling match.
Yeah. Yeah. Play.
You know what I mean? So you take this guy against his will and put him on his back. You know what I mean?
Right.
Take him here and put, you know, force him to go there. You know what I mean? It's a hand fight. It's a little, and then also yeah. like pass protection. Sorry, I keep getting notifications on pass protection. You know what I mean? Like we're drop stepping, kick stepping back, and you got a 270 pound defensive end. That runs like, you know, 4.6, 4.7, 40 yard dash, right. And you're backpedaling basically. You know, the right adjustments and right steps so you don't get put on your back. And so that helped a lot with my takedown defense and my footwork, you know what I mean? And the,
yeah,
and
that's awesome.
Foot placement and not getting your feet crossed up and stuff like that. And, you know, that's just one example. You know, another one is like, I just bought my first longboard or skateboard. And so a lot of that, like with the balance and, you know what I mean? Like shifting my weight to my heels and toes and understanding that. And so what do you look at with like bare knuckle boxing was, it really helped with my true, like natural, range, like my length of my punches, because
right.
I don't have a glove on, you know, and like this much difference in a punch is the difference between, you know what I mean? Is the difference between just nicking somebody or missing and knocking them out. And so when
yeah.
I found my true range without gloves on and then brought that back into, you know, MMA, you know, nice. Really, really helped with that. And so,
Chase, it's amazing. I'm sorry. I want to get to one quick more thing because I know we've only got a couple minutes, but no, man, it's amazing. You are a true athlete. You missed it because my co-host that was on for yesterday, but he wasn't able to be here today. He was singing your praises, saying that you seem like you're like a, he attributed you to like a contender on the contender series. He's like, Chase Sherman's a serious vet. But like he's got the hunger and drive of a contender. So like we see that in you. We know that that's where you're headed. I do have one thing. Someone sent something in. I'd be remiss not to play it. But here's something from your buddy, I believe.
Yo, what's up, Chase? This is Trap Daddy Gambino. I just wanted to say I love the last fight. You're a hell of a motivation, a badass fighter. Make sure you tell these motherfuckers who to go to next time they come in Vegas and they want a good time. See you soon, man.
Yeah. I haven't got to kick it with him yet, but he was a fan, man. I was supposed to get it with him when I was in Vegas.
Yeah.
Fight. He was going to show me around, show me a good time. So I'm going to have to get up with him.
Yeah, man, he's a good dude, man. I think he's got a fight coming up with the Influencer Fight League coming up, and he was just saying that he's gonna party with you next time you're down in Vegas, man.
He's cool. I haven't got to hang out with him yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
No, he's a great guy, man. We had him on our podcast. We talked to him quite a bit. But Chase, we're right on time, man. I want to let you go. You've got your training to do. Thank you so much for joining the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Hopefully, we'll do it again. We got a little bit more time to talk and discuss, because there's a lot of things that we didn't get to go over that I, you know what I mean, like wanted to talk about, but I got to get to training. And yesterday was just
no worries, man. No, Chase, I appreciate you so much, man. You're the nicest dude. Like, you look like the scariest dude on the planet. But you're like a super nice guy, so I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Any last words you want to say just before I let you go?
Not really, man. I appreciate y'all having me. And then, like I said, let's set something else up. And then there's a few other things that we can talk about and discuss and basically give some insight on kind of like how I progressed to this transformation after those losses and where, you know, and how all that came about and this version of myself as a fighter.
Dude, I would love to chat with you again. Maybe when you've got that next fight set up, then we'll have you on before then.
For sure. All right. Take care.
Thanks, man. See you later, buddy. pretty awesome, man. I love being able to speak to people that we've been following and watching like for so long. So Chase Sherman, a great dude. Very nice that he says that he's going to come back on the podcast. Lots to talk about. And so we'd love to have him back on. Chase, thank you so much. Guys, like, follow, subscribe, do all that stuff for this podcast. It really helps out a lot. And each week we've got guests from around the world of combat sports. So be sure to check us out. Until then, have a good one and we'll see you next week.